get into it. I mean, I'm.
But I had already recorded some stuff on one side. This took 3 years.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you had not gotten some of
it.
Okay.
That's why I was listening.
Yeah.
Listen when it's kind of.
Switched. Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, so anyhow, there was many years that went by, and Baba already saw ahead, apparently, what was to be. And that may only have been one thing. God knows what other things he'll have to answer someday in the future, and what things Kagabad may yet have to give me and tell me in the way of experiences that may not even be in this life anymore. Who knows? It's all speculation like that. But that I know, this other thing about the film part. Now, so Baba got up from his chair and he began to walk out the room, and everybody began to file out behind him. And I was right behind Baba at the moment. And all of a sudden, for no reason at all, as Baba was walking out the door, I began to stroke his back very lightly, stroking his back. And the thought came to me, two thoughts came. I even remember my thoughts at that time. It was amazing. One is that he used to stroke Babajan's back. Babajan used to have him, the perfect master. And also, whether this was something I should do, because really it should be something that he would invite rather than he just doing. But anyhow, it felt right, and it was, and I had no regrets. So I was stroking his back as we were going out the door. And Baba never turned around or anything. He never minded it at all. And we went into another room where there was a large container, like a vat, of orange juice. And Baba, and there was a ladle, a dipper. So Baba took the dipper and he went into the orange juice and took some into his mouth from that dipper. And he swished it around in his mouth, and then he spit the whole thing right back into the vat of juice. And he mixed it up very carefully with that dipper. And then there were all these glasses, and there was a whole bunch of people. And we all took a glass, and Baba poured the orange juice out from that dipper, and, you know, dip it in and pour it out, and fill up everybody's glasses as we brought it up to him. And he did it himself with his own hands. And you really felt that Baba was very much a part of yourself. When he did that and I drank that orange juice, I really felt I was drinking as a part of Baba. And I felt very good about that. I think anybody else would have done that, I wouldn't have liked it. But he did it, and I really liked it. Then, well, that was some of the incidents that occurred that day. Baba was very much, he was very warm, very loving. You felt that you could be very comfortable with him. He was not judgmental about anything. And he would just, a real feeling you had with Baba is that he was someone very dear and very, that loved you very much and really had your own best interest at heart. He didn't have any, didn't feel like he had any kind of, I don't know, there was no self-interest in him, that, you know, he was, that he really needed you to do something for him or whatever. He might, if he told people things, he told it to them, it was their own good. And he had just such amazing mastery and control of everything. You felt very secure with him, this is another thing. No worries. He didn't want people to worry around him. He said, "You're with me now. I know everything. So what's there to worry? Leave your family, your friends, your job, all those worries behind you now, as long as you're with me. And then when you return back, you can attend to your responsibilities. And remember that I am with you." Of course, when there were programs and things and people had to do service to him, they had to do it right. He wanted them to do it the best they could. And it could be exhausting. But actually, when you were with him otherwise, it was like you were with someone most dear to you.
I mean, you said in the article when you first went there, you felt nervous, and he looked nervous.
Well, Baba's, see what happened then, when I came in, one of the things that I saw is that Baba, his legs were shaking, you know, like shivering, you might say. They looked like that. And it's as if somebody were very nervous. Now, that was only his legs. It wasn't the rest of him. The rest of him was very calm, very relaxed. But that's how he looked. And I was thinking that he's looking nervous. Why should he be nervous? I'm the one. I'm Tommy. I should be nervous. It was just sort of a thought. And he really, I think, took away any nervous tension I might have experienced. And I didn't have to feel that.
So that was 61. You came right the last day, the 31st you left.
In 1961, we came for 1 hour. Actually, it was for 2 hours. I went with my brother on that trip.
And how is it you didn't come before this?
Well, my brother was going to go on the first trip.
Yeah, no, I meant during that May journey, like Anne Conlon, Fred Winterfeld.
Oh, how?
Arrived a few days before, and I got this hearing. Mm-hmm. You came to write the very
last day.
So,
what?
I'm just saying,
how come?
Was that all of a sudden that you just kind of...
Well, we got the... you see, there was a family letter that went out, which we did not receive till the middle of the second week of that program, of that time that Bob was seeing people. We saw... You see, we got that... Baba said in that circular that it was not particularly for Westerners. It was mostly for Easterners. And that whoever came could come to see him for any one day of that two-week period that he was permitting people to come. And even then, only for 1 hour of that one day. And therefore, he didn't... It wasn't so much for Westerners, because it was a huge trip and everything, to come for a short time. Well, anyhow, that was the implication there. Also, he said if it interfered with your job, you shouldn't come. If it interfered with your finances, you shouldn't come. If it interfered with family harmony, you shouldn't come. And Baba gave a whole list of reasons why nobody should go. So I think only about 5 people ended up going. Now, we received this in the middle of the second week of that program. We didn't even know about it. We had to think whether it was even possible to get there for the last day. And even that was chancy if we left immediately. So we had to leave without saying anything to anybody, because my father was so dead set against it that when I sort of felt him out a little about it, I asked him what he would think if I left to go to see Bob in India again someday. He said that he would feel that it would be a big mistake, and that so I said, but would you try to stop us? Because the time before he tried calling the police on us, you know.
He did stop
us. And he stopped us at with the police in a sense like that. Now that's a different story. Anyhow, he said that what he would do is try to have us committed to a mental hospital. Boy, when I heard that, I knew there was no way I could tell him anything. And, of course, you see, the reason I had to is because I was living with him in his house and working for him in his business. But there was also Baba's instructions. And Baba said, if it interferes with family harmony, you know that you should you shouldn't go. So Ed and I spoke about that, and we said, what's the use? There's no family harmony anyhow. So what's it interfere with? If there's ever going to be any, it'll have to be coming from Baba in some way. God will make it possible. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. I was also working with him in his office. So that was my job. And I was, and Baba said, if it interferes with your job, you shouldn't go. So Ed and I talked again, and we said, well, what is the job on earth? And our job on earth is to find God. Why limit it just to these everyday jobs that come and go anyhow? So we said, if the job, if the real job is to find God, then going to Baba is certainly going to help that, and it won't interfere in the least. So that settled that question too. And then there was another one, if it interfered with your finances. Well, we had enough money to go, but we would have been wiped us right out. And we thought, well, this is what finances is for, so how can it interfere with it? You use your money to go and develop yourself and to get closer to God. And that's exactly what we were doing. So after we settled all those questions, Baba didn't say a Westerner couldn't come. Now, we had to leave without telling anything to anybody. See, the whole thing was so fast. We had to get visas and the papers and all the things, you know, and we only had one day to do everything in, if we were even going to make it for the last day, which was chancy. So Edward went to New York to try and arrange all the papers, and I stayed that day to get the tickets, and then we were going to meet in New York. So we met in New York. That is, I went to New York, you see. Mind you, all of this, telling nobody. Nobody knows anything. And we're living with the parents. And we're, and I'm working there. And all. And it has to be without anybody knowing anything. So so I went to the airport, and I'm waiting for Edward to show up, and they're announcing the Air India flight for Bombay. And I'm now with the tickets, but I have no papers, no passport, no visa. Edward has to have that. Edward can't go because I've got the tickets. So he's not there. And they're announcing the first call. And he's still not there. And then the second call comes up to board the plane. You know, they're announcing a second call now. All Air India passengers should please come now to the gate and begin boarding the plane immediately and all like that. And he's still not there. I'm thinking, well, Baba, we've gotten this far. There's no turning back. If we go back, it would be all hell would break loose. And if he doesn't show up, I mean, we really put our neck on the line. Let me tell you, the neck was right on the line. It was easy for the axe to fall and chop the head off. What can you do? So the third call, last call, they said, this is the last call for passengers boarding Air India flight. And I said, well, Baba, this is it. What now? Just then my brother comes in, and he's moving as quick as he could. And he says, he comes over, do you have the tickets? I said, yeah, you have the, yeah, tell him, you have the passports and the visas. He says, yeah, let's go. We just made it aboard that flight. We took off. Now I'm at 35,000 feet in the air, and I'm thinking to myself, did I rationalize this thing? Maybe I rationalized all of the things that Baba said that shouldn't interfere with family harmony and job and all of those things. Well, it was too late. We're 35,000 feet up in the air now, straight on the way. That was just a passing thought. We get to India. We come there. Do you know that we arrived in Pune at the hotel at 4 o'clock? And just as we're pulling in with the cab, the Marji pulls in with his car to pick up the Western lovers that were about to go to Guru Prasad to see Baba. 4 o'clock. Can you believe? 4 o'clock. It must have been. Yeah. Was that your birthday? Well, the best birthday present I could give you was to get to Baba somehow. Well, anyhow. So he pulls in and we all get into his car and then we go on over to Guru Prasad. And I remember standing in line there.
Everybody was surprised to see, of course.
What?
Just.
Well, I didn't really know Ann Conlon.
I was surprised to see you all.
Yeah. Now, Baba came, we went over to Guru Prasad, and I remember I walked into the room and I could feel Baba's presence. It was in the large Guru Prasad hall. I could feel Baba's presence. I couldn't see him yet. And then walked up to Baba, and he embraced us very lovingly and warmly. He wanted us to sit next to him. So we were sitting by Baba. And then Baba asked, he said, oh, I remember now, yes. He called me to stand up. At some point during this, he motioned that I should come up and stand beside him. And then he motioned for Edward to stand on the other side of him. And he began to say, these are the Luck brothers. They've come a great distance to be with me for just a short time, very, very short time, 1 hour. And he said that they had to overcome many obstacles to come and be with me. We had not said anything to Baba about anything. So, but Baba was just saying these things. And he said that they crossed continents and they've tried and they've done everything to be here. And he said, such love must be rewarded. And Baba kept repeating, such love must be rewarded. Well, at that point, I didn't feel I did anything wrong anymore. And in fact, it was getting to be so much praise. Baba was praising us so much, asking, wow, this is too much, maybe too much praise, because bound to something is bound to happen, you know, just the opposite. Anyhow, I was thinking at the time that, and then Baba all of a sudden motioned, and somebody jumped up from this large group and flashed the picture. And then sat right back down. And then it all happened so quick, the way Baba motioned. And then I was thinking when he flashed that picture that what I really want is not reward, but to know Baba as he is. And if that's reward, then whatever that is. But the thing was, I really wanted to know him the way he really is. And that was very heavy in my mind. On those two visits, the both trips, to know him as he really is. Well, this was a short visit. Baba actually did extend the time to 2 hours rather than 1 hour. And he also said this was the most important day of the 2 weeks that he was seeing everybody. And then as we were leaving, Baba gestured, because we were now a distance, and we were about to walk out the hall. We were leaving at the end of the time. And Baba gestured, and he made motions over his head, like four levels. And he was saying, one day I will give you the highest experience. And he repeated that twice. He said, to both of us. He was gesturing and these four levels, and he was saying, one day I will give you the highest experience. And that's when we left that time. You see, that was the end of that.
Did you see Baba the next
morning? No, that was the only time.
Baba called them back the next morning to say goodbye. But then somebody else also said that you all were told to leave that day. I mean, do you remember leaving Pluto with these other people? Because you flew from Bombay with.
Yeah. In fact, I remember Ann Conlon was in the car when we all left.
I'm just wondering why the next morning you all didn't come
out. You know, I don't remember. If that did happen, then I don't remember.
Maybe Edward.
I just don't remember that.
Was that the time Baba was listening to your divine agency? Was that in November?
Oh, no, that was that time. You see, what happened is that we were sitting next to Baba there during that 2 hours, and Baba began to make gestures like circle motion around the side of his head, and then he would point with two fingers at us, and he, let's see, he didn't say anything. So I was just looking at Baba when he was doing that, and I thought, wonder what that means. You know, I thought, oh, Baba wouldn't be saying we're crazy or something then. Wouldn't expect that to be from Baba, because he just didn't have that kind of image in my mind. Anyhow, then just short time after that, he did the same thing again. He spun his fingers around and pointed at both of us. But he didn't say anything further. And then second time when he did it, I said to myself, of course, I said, well, does Baba think we're mad or something? What is it that he, why is he, what does it mean? You know, I said, no, it couldn't be that. Well, now the third time he did it, and again he pointed at us, and this time he said, with his gestures, he said, you are divine idiots. And then Erich was translating the question. He says, yes, Baba says you're divine idiots. Well, we were looking at Baba. And I was thinking, wonder why Baba would say that. What does it really mean? So at some point, Baba was busy with some others, and he was looking at them and whatnot. And Erich, of course, was right there. So I said, Erich, what do you think Baba means when he says we're divine idiots? And Eric said, Baba, he says, if you want God, you have to be mad. Those who are mad after God are idiots to the world. The world will say you're mad. They say you're an idiot, you know. So they won't understand. They're crazy. They think you're crazy because it's not consistent with the worldly ways. Anyhow, that's what Erich thought it meant, or whatever he meant when he was translating Baba's gestures, saying that. And all this occurring while he's giving us this answer, I suppose. And Baba was sitting right there, you see. It wasn't like we were in another place. Baba was right there, but Baba was looking around at other things. And he didn't look at us at the time. But I couldn't help feeling that Baba was hearing this whole thing and just letting it be, you know.
And the whole 2 hours, were there
by his feet. And then at some point, Baba had asked me to hold a pillow over his feet. Because people were bowing down. He didn't want, you see, he was going to have people bowing down to him. That is, he was allowing them to. They were coming in a long queue. There was thousands of people. Well, there's a lot of people. I don't know how many people there were. And he wanted me to hold the pillow. He motioned I should hold his pillow over his feet so that no one touches his feet. He didn't want anyone to touch his feet. And I did. I held it over his feet, and nobody, so nobody could touch his feet. And I remember I was getting tired after a while. Getting a bit. My brother asked me if he could take over, but I said no. Because I remember that when Baba gave you a job to do, you had to do it. You couldn't have somebody else doing it. If he gave it to someone else, then they had to do it. You know, it was like that. So Edward was ready to help, but I had to do that.
So did Baba tell you that time to care about your father?
Not that time. He told me that the time before. He said that I should write to my father a letter. And I didn't write that letter. And then he asked me again. He said, have you wrote it? It was each day. And I said, no, Baba. Because my mind was... Oh, of course. This is the first time now, you see, I'm speaking up.
So he knew it. But he still told you to write a letter to say what?
Yeah. To say... well, basically that... to just write him a loving letter to say that I was all right, you know, whatever I wanted to say, that I was with Baba and such. Second time he asked me that, I hadn't done it still.
I think, isn't there some letter you said, Baba's everything I expected and more?
That was a letter I had written to my mother, I think.
During that one?
Yeah. I think it was a cable, wasn't it?
A telegram.
Yeah. I think that was a cable. See, I was coming to that. So the second time I didn't write that letter because my mind was so, you know, it was very hard for me to think very much at that time and to really do things because I was really so absorbed with Baba at that time. So even to do what small thing like that he was asking me, it was an accomplishment to do anything. Then the third time he asked me if I had written. Another day went by, and I said, no, Baba, I hadn't. Well, I don't think Baba liked that exactly, but he didn't, you know, he didn't put me to task for it. Then when the time came to leave, he said I should send a telegram, because the time was very close now anyhow. And I did, a telegram was sent, and it was then that I said that Mayor Baba was more human than what I had thought, because my mother wanted to know what I felt about him and thought about him. But then, you see, a couple of years later, Baba sent me an order that I had to write to my folks every other week. And this went on indefinitely, every other week, for years and years. I think had I done it that one time, I would have avoided all those letters. I don't do it on a schedule now, but I do write to them. You know, I write to them, but it's not on a schedule anymore.
Are your relations cordial?
Oh, yeah, yeah. With me, it is. With my brother, my father and my brother are not speaking. Yeah, yeah, they're not speaking now.
Your dad likes Janet?
Oh, yeah. He loves Janet and the baby. He loves the baby very much. And we have a very good relationship, actually. And of course, there's my other two brothers, Martin and Richard. They live in Miami, and they all have that relationship. But Bob is going to have to do something about my father and my brother, Edward. They're those two. My mother, my mother loves everybody. She's the saint in the family. At least that's what the Mandali said when she came to India with my dad. They said if she can live with him, she must be a saint. He made a saint out of her. You see how Baba works? But actually, Baba's really taken charge. He had a lot of correspondence with Baba. Amazing, heavy duty.
What about 62? What do you remember about
it? In 1962 was the East-West Gathering.
Any
personal things? Well, we were usually the last ones to leave the room. In the mornings, Baba saw the Western lovers. Mm-hmm. And in the afternoon, he saw the Easterners. Well, of course, there was so many less Westerners, 150 or so. And since we were last to leave the room, we usually had some contact with Baba that wouldn't otherwise have been possible. One time, I remember there was nobody else in the room, and only Baba was sitting in his chair at the far end of the hall. And he was just looking at everybody, and the room was empty, you see. And this is a huge room. I mean, it really looked amazing. And Baba, so we were at the doorway, and Edward and I. And Edward says to me, why don't we ask Baba for his bliss? And I said, we could ask him to become as dust at his feet. Because Baba had just that morning given a discourse, or he was talking to, you know, telling everybody. Of course, there was gestures that if you, about becoming as dust, and it was an amazing story he told. He said that if you become, he said that he wants us to become as dust at his feet. And if we were to attempt to do that, the world would call us mad. This is what he said. And he said that you would be like dust. It wouldn't have any thought of its own, you know, that is, it wouldn't offer any resistance. That's what he said. It wouldn't offer any resistance. You could place it on a throne and it wouldn't be affected by it. You could put it in the gutter and that also wouldn't affect it. And it wouldn't resist either, actually. He said, who here can become as dust? And love me where to the extent that I can do with you whatever I feel is best. And those of you who can become as such dust will be the ones that will come to know me as I really am. To that effect. And then he told about Majnu and Lila, that story. It was very beautiful. So now Edward and I went back into the room after we had that little thing. And it happened that Edward went one side, I went the other side, and there was a chair at either end. And we both sat down in those chairs. And Baba was in the center in his chair. But there was quite a distance between Baba's chair and the chairs at either end where we were sitting. And we just sat there. You see, and Baba was sitting in the middle. And all the people were on the other side of the door and mulling around and talking and whatnot. And Baba was just sitting there all by himself. And he wasn't looking at either one of us either. Just straight ahead. All of a sudden, he reached out with both arms, without looking at either of us, and just gestured for us, you know, just made a hand motion that we should both come to him, just with his fingers. Just come. So we immediately got up and went right by Baba. And Baba gestured, "What is it? You know, what do you want?" So I said, "Baba, I would like to become as dust at your feet." And Edward said also something. And Baba had such a look, his face changed, and he had such a look of so much love and suffering. And it was such a mixture of so many different emotions, and that is feelings, I think. Maybe what it would really mean to be that, you know, be easy. Well, whatever that was, it was quite a thing. And then nothing much was said, actually. It was just that happened. Another time, again, we were at the door, and this time Phil Collins was there too, and we all went over to Bob. We just went right up. Phil Collins. Collins. C-O-W-A-N-S. He was there too. And then we just all went over to Baba. And Baba asked us what our plans were now. And I said we planned to go back to New York. And Baba just nodded. And then we said... let me think for a second what happened there. Then there was a few things said about that. Baba asked a few questions. And then Baba looked at me and he says, "Now you know all you need to know." And he motioned, "Now you're dismissed, you go." You see? And I was going away. I was thinking, what do I know? You know. But he saw that I, whatever it was. And then later on, as time went by, pretty much whatever came up into my life, I seemed to know what to do about it. Even things that I wouldn't have expected. But I think the biggest thing that happened was the last day of that darshan that we saw Baba. It was really the day before the last, because it was the last day of the darshan, but we did get to see him again the following day. And it was that evening. Again, everyone was dismissed, everyone went out. Edward and I were now lingering at the door as usual. And we turned to leave, and all of a sudden, Baba snapped his fingers, made a loud snap. And we turned around, we looked at Baba, and Baba was gesturing, and Eric was saying, "Remember, I am God in human form." And then we turned around again to go, and Baba snapped his fingers again and said, "Remember, I am God in the human form." And then he made a motion, dismissed, and we left. That night, we both had dreams that there was some big war going on. And our dreams were very similar. My dream was that there was this huge war going on, and there was this fighting and everything, and then all of a sudden I saw... that as it was going on, for some reason, I realized I was on the wrong side. So I went into this here room that was like a bombed out area. This is in the dream. And a soldier came over and he started shooting in this room and spraying it with bullets. And I was saying Baba's name and none of the bullets were hitting me. Then a couple of more soldiers came and then they started to shoot and they had like machine guns and they were even shooting where I was. It looked like that. And none of the bullets were hitting me. And I just kept saying Baba's name. And then even more soldiers came and they were shooting and some were shooting right at me, you see, and none of these bullets were hitting me. While this, you see, I should have said that, well, it's all right, I'll say it soon. None of the bullets were hitting. All right, so I'm thinking to myself now, maybe if one bullet hits me and I'm saying Baba's name, Baba said you get liberation. You get real, you realize God. So that wouldn't be so bad. So I thought, well, it might be all right, just one should hit me, you know, and just as long as it finished me off quick, long enough for me to say Baba's name. As I'm thinking this in my own dream, this bullet hits me. And I say, ah, he's got me now. And then all the soldiers went away, you see, and now I'm lying there. And I'm saying Baba's name, Baba's name. I'm waiting to die. In my dream, I'm waiting to die. And I'm not dying so fast. And I'm getting really tired and exhausted. It's hard to keep saying Baba's name. I thought, this is bad, because if I stop saying his name and then I die, I would have wasted the whole thing. So I'm looking and I see that there's, then I see Baba in the distance. He's sitting in a chair in a field and he's not looking at me. And I thought, oh, maybe if I roll over a little bit, I'll die faster. You know, it'll do something that make me even die faster. And I roll over and then I feel all of a sudden everything is becoming black, void. And I saw Baba in the field and I'm thinking, yeah, here I'm dying. Baba's not even looking at me. And then I felt that everything came black. See, this is it. I died. And I'm saying Baba's name. I'm saying his name. And at that point, I woke up. Well, it was that afternoon that Baba asked for anyone that had a dream to tell the dreams. And that's when I told him that dream. And Edward told his dream, too.
This was the last day.
Because, yes, that was the...
The next day,
you see. See, when Baba said, remember, I am God, that was the last day he was officially seeing anybody.
Yeah.
But he did see the Australians the following day because they came a day late. And he gave them some extra time. And I had remembered the day before, I had remembered that somewhere in the recesses of my mind, it seemed that Baba had said that I should see him again. And I couldn't remember where I had known that from.
So you were there when the Australians were.
So what happened is I asked Erich if I should go to see Baba. You know, is that correct? So I said to Erich, I believe I'm supposed to see Baba again. And Erich said, well, I don't remember anything like that. I said, but I'm sure that I'm supposed to see Baba. And I couldn't remember either. So yeah, when did he say that? I said, I don't remember, but I'm sure that he said. So he said, well, Baba's in the other room. I'll go in the other room and I'll ask Baba. So I thought, yeah, that's a good idea.
Was Edward there?
Yeah, Edward was with me. It was both of us. He comes back out. And he says, well, doesn't seem so. Baba said, no. I said, oh, well, in that case, then I must have been mistaken. Now, the next morning, Adi comes to the hotel and says, Baba wants you to come and be there. I said, Erich just told us last night that we're not to. He says, I don't know about that. I'm telling you, Baba said this to me. So I said, fine, I'm going. And then we went, and that's how we were with the Australian group.
See, now
that morning.
On the 7th,
mm-hmm.
On the 6th, people came to Amanada. Did you come to Amanada and see all these places?
It could have been, yeah, I think so. But then we went back, isn't that right?
Yeah.
On and the same 6th.
The 5th, and then you saw that was the 7th morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the 7th morning is the 6th.
Unless it was the next day. I thought
see,
it was the next day.
The 4th was the last day of the darshan. in the fifth.
Yeah. What happened on the fifth then?
That's what I'm saying. No.
I thought that the Australians had that extra time. And they were singing songs, and Baba asked for songs, and they were singing songs, yeah. and then Baba asked if anyone had any dreams that night. And that's when I told that dream.
I see.
But Baba made absolutely no comment about it.
How could it be the fifth when you said you went to Guru Prasad here and said no on the next day?
Because that was the fourth that happened.
The fourth or the last days when Baba got Guru.
That's right. It was that day.
That day is when you said that I have to see Baba again.
Yes, I said that. That's right. That was that day.
But you'd already seen Baba.
Yeah, but it was before we left. You see, when everyone left, Guru Prasad, it wasn't instantly, you know. There was still time.
I see the same.
It's just...
After Baba said that I'm God to be before, and you guys left.
Yeah.
Then you went back and said...
I saw Erich at the doorway, and I something was bothering me. Like, I was supposed to see Baba again, and I couldn't remember. So when I saw him at the door, I said to him, you know, I think we're supposed to see Baba again.
After that, God...
Right, right, after that. And then that whole thing happened. And I'm sure we saw him again on the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wanted to live with Baba. We wanted to stay each time. We didn't just say it, but Baba... Well, most of that was brought up the first time. The second visit, Baba knew that, but... wasn't ready. On the first visit, I was by myself. Edward wasn't with me.
He said, "We want to stay."
No, I never said it like that. I wasn't going to be that presumptuous with Baba. It was quite different. What occurred was that Baba, I was sitting in front of Baba, and all of a sudden, these thoughts begin to go through my mind. That if I were to be in Miami with my father, it would be the same as being with Baba. You know, like that. It was a passing thought. And then the thought came back again, repeated. And mind you, I'm sitting right in front of Baba there. There are other people present too. And this thought keeps coming around and won't go out of my head. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. And finally, I realized, what am I thinking? You know, this has got to stop. This is ridiculous. How could my father be the same as your father? As I'm thinking this, Baba looks right at me and he says, would you rather be here with me or would you rather return back to the States and be with your father? So I said, I'd rather be with you, Baba. He said it will be the same. He says you'll benefit the same, but whether you're here or that, it won't matter. You don't have to decide right now either. You can think about it. And in my mind, my decision was there was no thinking even. I knew that I'd want to be with him, but I didn't say anything more. And actually, he was giving me those thoughts, you see, and then asked about it. But he knew. He knew it. Well, then, later, finally towards the end of the visit, Baba said, distance means nothing to me. Time and space are no barriers for me. I will be with you wherever you are. Don't worry. Remain happy and cheerful. And remember, I am with you. In effect, that's what he was telling me. Then he motioned me to come over to him. He embraced me. And when I stepped back from him, I felt like my arms were dripping. The sensation was so strong of dripping, I had to look and see if anything was dripping. And I was just charged. He just gave me such a charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then he said, Marriage, you said you return now back to the States. And tell the New York group what you had seen and heard. And remember, and then he said, Marriage, you will help you with your things, and now you go. Go back. And send me a telegram when you arrive home in Miami. So I did all that.
Was it just the same?
Huh? Well,